It is my joy to welcome you to today's podcast. Our prayer is that the Lord will minister to you in a special way during our time together.
Father, this morning we've come to hear what you have to say through your holy word. Holy Spirit, you have a way to speak much more than the preacher will. And I pray that you bring the word alive to us, to each one of us, Lord. Minister to each one of us. Strengthen us. Help us heal as we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, this whole month, we've been focusing on relationships. Did you enjoy the series so far? Each year, we conduct several marriages. In this past week, we had three. And so, if you know, many of the couples go on to have great married lives, but a few don't. They struggle along the ways, and some even get separated and divorced. They move away from each other. I heard the story from this couple in the U.S. A woman woke up during the night to find her husband was not beside her in bed. And so she went downstairs, and sure enough, she saw him at the kitchen table sipping a cup of coffee. There was a tear running down the eye. Apparently, they had had a fight the previous night. She saw him wiping the tear, and she came and said, "Hey, what's the matter? Why are you here all alone in the middle of the night?" And the husband looked at her and said, "Do you remember 20 years ago? You were 16 and I was 18. She said, "Yes." "You remember we were dating?" "Yes." "Do you remember how your father caught us at the back of our car kissing?" She said, "Yes." "Do you remember how your father pointed the gun at me and said, 'You either marry my daughter or spend the next 20 years in jail?'" She said, "Yes." "You know, dear, I would have gotten out today." This morning, I wanted to speak with you on avoiding an emotional divorce. Avoiding an emotional divorce. I'm not talking about divorce, no. I'm talking about those initial signs where you distance yourself from each other. The book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 16 says, "The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty." So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. Be on your guard. Be careful, be attentive, and do not be unfaithful. An emotional divorce is when there is a physical, verbal, and emotional distance between you and your partner while you stay under the same roof. You don't talk to each other. Physically, you're under the same roof. You go through the motions of marriage, but emotionally, you're distant. Proverbs 30, verse 21 to 23, "Under three things the earth trembles. Under four, it cannot bear up. A servant who becomes king, a godless fool who gets plenty to eat, a contemptible woman who gets married, and a servant who displeases her mistress." A servant who displeases her mistress. The Message version reads this way. It's very interesting. It says, "Three things are too much for even the earth to bear. Yes, four things shake its foundations. When the janitor becomes the boss, when a fool gets rich, when a prostitute is voted woman of the year, and when a girlfriend replaces a faithful wife." You know, when you look at the Bible, you find stories. In fact, my attention went to Genesis chapter 29 and 30. We read about a woman who kept on bearing children, hoping her husband will fall in love. I'm speaking about Leah. You know the story of Jacob and Leah. Jacob was in love with Rachel, and he worked for 7 years in order to get Rachel. And, you know, he kept deceiving his own brother. He kept deceiving his father. You remember how he deceived his brother of birthright and father of the blessing? Now he goes to a place. He is a master of deception, of deceiving people. And here he gets a taste of his own medicine. He goes and his father-in-law tricked him. On the day when he was supposed to get married, well, there was a celebration. He called the whole village, had a big party, and it was time in the night. He sent the elder daughter, Leah, in place of the one he loved. And of course, thank God we have electricity today. At least we know who is coming to the room with us. Amen. Well, this man was waiting for 7 years. And he was with Leah, hoping it was Rachel the whole night. And the early morning, he woke up and lo and behold, it's another woman. And he got angry with his father. And father-in-law says, listen, why did you trick me? Said, don't worry. I'll give you the second one too. But you have to spend another 7 years working for me. You know, visibly you can see that he did not love this woman he married. He was tricked into her. And Leah went on to produce child after child, hoping this man would love her. Genesis 29, verse 30 on, Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, listen, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely, listen, surely my husband will love me now. Why? I work very hard. I produced him a son. I hope he loves me now. Verse 33, she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, because the Lord heard that I'm not loved, he gave me this one too. Verse 34, and she conceived again, and she gave birth to a son, and she said, now at last my husband will become attached to me. She is trying to earn his love. Bearing child after child. Verse 35, she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. Because she lost all hope with this man. No matter how much she's delivering, this man is not loving her. And when the fourth son comes, she says, this time, there's no hope with this guy. I'm going to praise him. She named him Judah. If you look at the next chapter, chapter 30, verse 19, Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has presented me with a precious gift. This time, my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons. How desperate she gets. Here is a woman living with a man, hoping he would love her. Look at it. Jacob made love to her, but he never loved her. He was physically with her, but his heart was not with her. Soulmate or roommate? Can you be in a relationship where you go through the motions of marriage, but you are never emotionally or romantically connected with your spouse? Do you know of couples who live together in the same house, yet act as strangers? They're no longer soulmates. They are just mere roommates. You know, in our Indian system, marriage is arranged by the families. At least it's used to. The couples in most cases wouldn't know much about each other. My wife and I, ours is an arranged marriage. I was hoping to fall in love, but I was scared. But I did finally fall in love after I married her. And in an arranged marriage, you check the family background, you check the education of the boy and the girl, you advertise the masters and the PhDs and all of that. You advertise where they are working or the green card, you advertise no bad habits, no drinking, smoking, nothing of that sort. You advertise the church affiliation, and then you check with the couple too. Kabul hai, kabul, kabul. And the marriage is finalized, and you're hoping that eventually the couple will get emotionally or romantically connected with each other. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Thank God, between Julie and me, we fell in love. And over the past 25 years, we've been in love. Amen. Thank you. I think you should give her a hand. Good job, good job. You're hoping they will fall in love. You live in the same house, go through the motions of marriage, and yet not connected. You know, I see this. I see couples who are living together, go through the motions. And the first time a woman actually falls in love is when she gets pregnant. She's in love with the child she's bearing, she's carrying. And for 9 months, she is deeply in love with another human being growing within her. And when the child is born, she's deeply... This husband, he's still a stranger to her. But she's in love. And when the boy grows, the mother pours her heart and life on her children. And that is why usually when a son gets married, it's almost like a divorce or a death to a mother. Because for this mother, she has not loved anybody else more than her child. And if he leaves, what will she do with the stranger that she's married to? The mother does everything to make sure the son will bring the daughter-in-law and stay with her. And sometimes she'll fight with the daughter-in-law for her son. She's deeply in love with him. You know, parents, it's very important that you learn to love each other than your children. I'm not saying you cannot love, but don't love them to the point where you cannot live without them. Your child is meant to leave your home, just like you leave your parents' home. Can somebody say amen? And we teach very clearly from this pulpit that a man has to leave his father and mother and cleave to the wife with absolutely no apology. Amen? So we learn. And when the child comes and lives with the parents, there's always a tension between the parents and this new couple. Please, if you love your child to do well in their marriage, release them. I'm talking to you as a father of three boys. If I had three daughters, you'll say, yeah, I know why you're talking like that. I have three boys and I'm preaching to you. These days, most relationships start off as an emotional. They start falling in love. You find arranged marriages, once in a while they happen, but then there is love marriages and then they bring the parents along. This past week, a couple got married. They waited 9 years to get married. So it begins emotionally. A young man sees a beautiful girl or a young lady sees a handsome young man and you feel the butterfly in your stomach. There's a tingling sensation. You think you're in love. You fall in love. You think about the person most of the time. You're trying to find out more information about that person in your neighborhood or in your class. You find out about their mobile number, their birth date, their house address. Find out more about the parents or siblings. Find out about close friends or places they hang out. Eventually, you're emotionally drawn to that person. I heard the story of a young man who was in love with somebody in the neighborhood, but he didn't have the courage to tell the young lady. So he found out her best friend somehow got her phone number and he decided to send a note. But you know what? He tried to do something. He said, you know, I need to get God into the picture. He started praying. He prayed and said, God, please help me. I'm going to send this message. I hope I get a positive reply. He prayed. You know, there are three times, as pastor, we have noticed when people are very spiritual. The first time is when they are romantically involved. They're very spiritual. The second time is when they're writing their board exam. The third time is when they're facing the U.S. Embassy. Three times in life when you're super spiritual. Isn't it true? Some of you have been spiritual, isn't it? All three times. Listen, here he sends a note. He says, Anita, I think I'm in love with you. You've seen me around. I feel so nice about you. I never had the courage to tell you. See, I'm sending this note. Let me know what you think. This is my number. And he sent the note to Anita. And after a few seconds, a reply came. But he was scared to look at the reply. What if she said no? You know, men would never approach like that because he is afraid of a no answer. He waited. He prayed all the more in the night. But he decided to keep the mobile phone in the almara. He said, see, I'm going to do it in the morning. I don't have the courage to see the reply. So he kept it. Early in the morning, he woke up. Generally, he wakes up by 11 o'clock. But now he woke up at 6 a.m., which is like 2 o'clock for him. He woke up, prayed, read the Bible unusually. He said, God, please help me. He had his breakfast, then went to the almara, took the mobile phone. He said, and he read. He says, and this is the reply. He says, dear customer, you have insufficient balance to send this. Please top it up and send it again. Young people, message for you. You need money to fall in love. Amen? At least money to send the SMS. When a young person tries to contact the young lady and both of them are excited, they move to the next step. Remember, it starts as an emotional connection. Everybody say emotional. And then it goes on to become a physical connection. What do I mean by physical? They tend to meet. They like to meet. They like to talk. They like to go out for a coffee. They like to go for a biryani. They like to hang out. There is a meeting. And if it goes on well, then they take it to the next step, which is engagement. After engagement, they make it legal. Everybody say legal. In other words, they go to the court or a church and get married. And then they are doing everything they can to have everything in common. They try to become one. So there is four stages. Number one, emotional. Say this with me. Emotional. Number two is physical. Number three is legal. Number four is becoming one. Okay? You are one. The couple is one. In every sense, they are one. Emotionally, they are one. Physically, they are one. Financially, they are one. Spiritually, they are one. So the sequence I want you to remember, emotional, physical, legal, and becoming one. Now, when a couple gets married, there are a lot of expectations. The groom and the bride has a lot of unset expectation. There's expectation from everyone else too, from his parents, his friends, her friends, extended family, colleagues, church pastors, church believers, careful people. Let me talk about some of the expectations. Ladies, if you agree with me, say yes. Are you ready? These are the wife's expectation. By the way, wife has a long list of expectations. Men have very few. Okay, here we go. The wife expects her husband to be loving to her and her family. Oh, thank you. You're doing better than the first service, by the way. That her husband would give a top priority to her. Thank you. The wife expects her husband to go out and work and provide for the family. She expects him to be the spiritual leader in the house. She expects him to be the head of the house and take responsibility for the family. She expects him to take major decisions for both of them. How about ladies here? Okay. She expects him to be responsible with their finances. Thank you. She expects him not to be broke or to take loan unnecessarily. She expects him to stand with her and with their kids. Yes. She expects him to be romantic. Yes. She expects him to surprise her with gifts. Yes. Bags, pattu sari, churidar, new shoes, flowers. She expects him to stand with her when there is an issue with her mother-in-law. She expects him to be faithful to her. She expects him not to be involved with another woman emotionally or sexually. She expects him to speak well of her and appreciate her. Yes. She expects him to take her and her kids to the church, not sleep in the house. She expects him to join her in the prayer time. She expects him to teach her and the kids the word of God. Listen. She expects him not to be addicted to drugs, alcohol, and porn. Some of you are very quiet today. Ladies, do you agree with what I'm saying? Yes. She expects him not to prioritize his friends or his job over her. She expects him not to be addicted to his mobile phone and on social media. Like 100 list here. Oh, by the way, did I miss out anything? Did I miss out anything? Message me. Thank you. Well, Now let me come to the husband's need. The husband's expectation. The husband expects his wife to be supportive of him. Men? Thank you. Come on, I want you to. Gentlemen, join with me. Here we go. He expects her to be respectful towards him and his family. Men are much stronger in this service, I'll tell you. Thank you, men. I feel good preaching today. He expects her to take on the responsibilities of the house, to be the home minister. Yes. He expects her to understand his financial committee. He expects her to stay within his budget and not shop extravagantly. That is a big yes. He expects his wife to be cheerful, to have a smile. Yes. Oh, this is important. He expects his wife to be a peacemaker and not given to arguments and fights. Okay. He expects his wife to be sensitive to his needs for sexual intimacy. Three people. Something is wrong with the men. He expects her to be a partner, not to be a competitor or one who is bossing her or running his life. He expects her to support him spiritually. Oh, this is very important. Guys, listen to me. He expects her to ensure there is food on the table. Men, did I miss out anything? A lot. But those basic things enough, Pastor Milton. It's okay. Most of these are legitimate expectations that are left unsaid. When you get married, you're hoping your spouse will understand these things and behave. And take care. Any wedding is an exciting journey, but it gets a little complicated. There are uphills. There are mountains you climb. It gets complicated if two of those people are actually from two different religious backgrounds. And if they're from two different cultural or language backgrounds. A Telugu ammai get married to a Punjabi putar. Listen, it's a big problem. He wants parathas, you want rasam and sambar. You want babu charu and pergu, he want chole bature. He does balle balle and you do Bharatanatyam. There's a big difference. Big difference. It gets complicated if they are from two different countries. It gets complicated if they are from two different denominational backgrounds. And this is what I want to tell young people. If you get married, find somebody from similar denominational background. Young lady, if you're Pentecostal, you marry somebody who has no idea of he's from another church. You're trying to wake him up on Sunday. He just wants to come once in a while. You're all speaking in tongues. You expect him. It doesn't happen like that. It gets complicated if they're from two extreme financial backgrounds, economic background. One is extremely rich. One is poor. The key is to find a middle ground, and that gets challenging. Imagine two people from two backgrounds coming together in holy matrimony. They begin their marriage with a lot of expectations. And when these expectations are not met or their spouse does something completely unacceptable, if there's a financial crisis or there's a problem with in-laws, there's always friction in the house. Someone said, everyone is normal until you know them. I want to say that again. Everyone is normal until you know them. I think every one of us are normal. Your spouse will disagree. Friction leads to the spouse getting frustrated and irritated. Irritation will make you get upset and angry. Anger will lead to an argument. An argument will cause you to raise your voice and say things. And then a fight breaks out. You're yelling, you're screaming, the neighbors know. Instagram knows, Facebook knows, it has gone all the way to California. Sometimes you're crying. Sometimes your spouse gets into a silent mode and there begins a thread of emotional separation, a thread of emotional distancing and divorce. Matthew chapter 1, I heard Brother Anand Pillai read this. Matthew 1:19, Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. In other words, he was emotionally thinking of a separation, of a divorce in his mind. Remember, the sequence is the same. You fall in love emotionally, and then it gets physical, then it gets legal, and then you become one. But when you have trouble in marriage, it's the same sequence. It starts emotional, then there is an emotional distance, then there is a physical distance, then it becomes a legal separation, and instead of becoming one, you have separated everything. Your kids, your wealth, your jewelry, your land, everything gets separated. Are you getting it? The sequence is the same. So the key is, how do you avoid an emotional divorce? You have to take care of it when it is just rising up emotionally. When you're upset in your heart, you take care of the issue right at the beginning. Joseph was shocked to learn that his engaged partner had a baby and he was not the father. What are some of the signs of an emotional divorce? You need to look out for these initial signs. Remember, when two elephants fight, the grass loses. If you and your spouse fight, your children lose. Your testimony loses. Your ministry loses. Signs of an emotional divorce. If you see these signs in your partner or you see it within yourself, these are red warning signs for you to take corrective action before it becomes fatal. Number one, you have distance away from each other. Emotionally. You're under the same roof, but you've distanced. You're emotionally away. You're not connecting. You're not talking. You're withdrawn. You're trying to stay silent. You don't talk too much with your spouse. You don't have deeper conversation. You don't have humor, or you don't share some of the everyday stuff. You've stopped appreciating your spouse. Listen, ladies, say something nice to your husbands. Do you know generally women will not appreciate their husband? Did you know that? They expect the husband to say, "I love you. You look nice. The sari is nice. The hair is nice. The nail polish is nice." I mean, you are expecting to say a lot of good things. And a lot of men do. Some men don't. But women generally get tired of the husbands. But can you learn to appreciate? You know, recently I saw Sapna say good things about Val. Sapna, lift your hand. So proud of you for appreciating your husband. I'll tell you that. Very rarely do I see women appreciate husbands. You did that for your husband. So proud of you. We need more women who will start to appreciate the husband verbally, even on social media, and to him. Tell him. Don't have a big list of things you want to say about him once he's gone. "Oh, I loved him. He's gone." Don't have your speech at that time. He can't hear you. Say something to him now. Please say something. Now, don't say, "I love you, I miss you." He knows he loves you. You love him. The things you say is, "I'm proud to be your wife. You're a hardworking man." Say things that speak about honor and respect. Not words of romance, basically. You tell men about how much he means to you. Will you say that? Oh, by the way, you can even say it now. Just let your fingers do the talking. Express appreciation to your men. They work very hard. And if they're committed to you, if they are committed to your home and the kids, appreciate him. Many men are not committed to their homes. If you have a man who comes to you, appreciate him. If you have a godly man, appreciate him. Men, please appreciate your women. Your wives, not your women. Your wives. Sorry, printing mistake. Shh. Please appreciate your wife. Amen? Tell her that you love her. Some of them will faint today when you go home. You may have to take her to the ICU, but that's all right. She hasn't heard it for 16 years. Appreciate your wife. If you see no verbal appreciation, those are red warning signs. Signs of emotional divorce. There is no emotional intimacy. There's no I love you note. There's no emojis. There's no heart. You can do a lot of things. Amen. When there is no sexual intimacy, it is a danger sign. You know, even before Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God told Adam and Eve to be sexually intimate. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say, go plant a mango tree. He said, be intimate, have children. Are you getting me? In a normal marriage, sexual intimacy happens twice or thrice a week. Some ladies will hold the husband at a distance for years together. Oh, we got our kids. Now no need of this. That is his need. If you're having intimacy once a month, something is seriously wrong in your marriage, something dysfunctional in your home. Please read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the first 5 verses when you get back home. Sexual intimacy is a method to find how you're doing. Communication is another method to find. Prayer is another method to find how you're doing in your marriage. These are warning signs. If you spend too much time in your office with your colleagues than with your spouse, if you are very keen to go on office trips, if you come home late and leave home early, it's a sign. If you try, there are couples who try to hide their mobile phone with very strong passwords. Even Pentagon can't break into it. Alpha, numeric symbols and all kinds of. You're hoping the wife will never find it out. Signs of emotional divorce. That you no longer help financially in the house. You no longer help with the household chores. You no longer show any interest to your spouse and to your kids. When you see these things happen, it's warning signs. Remember, it starts emotional. And the longer you keep it, by the way, anger causes you to flare up. Every couple here, listen, every couple sitting under this roof have disagreements, have conflicts, have fights. If you never fight with your spouse, raise your hand. Everybody fights. Sister stops. We have a church of fighters. Listen. Listen to me. Everybody fights. I fight with my wife. And I love her too. Amen. Are you listening to me? The key is you nip it in the bud. When it is emotional stage, you can rectify it. Your anger will cause it to flare up. Your ego will take it from emotional to physical, from physical to legal. It's your ego that will take you from one level to another. And it's very important that you conquer anger and ego in your marriage. So have guardrails for your marriage. And I'm going to be quick. Be quick to see this fatal signs and avoid a marital disaster. Be quick to reconcile. Ephesians 4, 26, 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. When you stay angry forever and ever, you give the devil a foothold to take it from emotional to physical to legal. And then to separate. Be quick to forgive. Ephesians 4, 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Remember, two things are completely based on forgiveness. You're going to heaven and you're happily staying in your marriage. You're going to heaven is based on the fact that God forgives you. Your staying in your marriage depends on the fact that your spouse and you forgive each other. Both of these things will be impossible if one or the other choose not to forgive. Amen. Keep healthy communication. Keep the romance alive. Avoid sexual immorality. Ephesians 5:3. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Friends, when you fight, don't get too friendly with your colleague in the office or your neighbor or somebody in the care cell. Don't say, hey, let's go out for a coffee. Let's meet over dinner. You may have problems. Everybody has problems. That doesn't give you a right to emotionally expose yourself to somebody else. It is perfectly okay to lose a fight. Patch up after the argument or fight. Have times together as a couple. Be sensitive and satisfy your spouse's emotional and sexual needs. You be there to satisfy. As a married couple, when you don't do that, you sin against God. Be sensitive of things that would irritate your spouse. Try to stay away. Speak well of your spouse to others. Avoid displaying cracks in your marriage, fights you had, trouble you had to others. Don't do that. If you do have serious cracks, talk to the pastors. Talk to a good Christian counselor and we will help you. Be loving. Ephesians 5, 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Listen, if you're wanting a great marriage, wives, submit. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Verse 33, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Cultivate your love. Verbalize your romance. Plan for surprises. Plan for gifts. As I conclude, I want to mention, Jesus won the entire world by love and forgiveness. He won it by a basin and a towel. He was willing to stoop down and wash his disciples' feet. He was willing to forgive the very ones who crucified him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. My friends, if you're willing to take up a basin and towel, if you're willing to forgive, you'll have a marriage made in heaven and you can enjoy it. Remember, it takes courage to fall in love or to get married, but it takes wisdom to make it last. It takes courage to fall in love or get married, but it takes wisdom to make it last. I want you to close your eyes. If you're not sitting beside your spouse and your spouse is in the hall, will you please go and find a seat next to your spouse? While all eyes are closed, I want to ask you, are you in a marriage relationship where it's dysfunctional or dead? Have you been quiet? Have you been emotionally distanced from your spouse? Do you live under the same roof as strangers? There's no more spark in your marriage. There's no more conversation. It's time to recognize the vital signs and take corrective action. It's time to seek the Lord and try everything in your power to change it while it is still in the emotional phase of trouble. I want you to hold your spouse's hand and pray. Will you do that? Hold your spouse's hand. If you need to say, whisper to them, listen, I'm sorry for the way I behaved. I have not been a godly spouse. From today, I will be a godly spouse. From today, I will be more loving, more forgiving. If your spouse is not with you, please send him or her a text and say, I'm sorry for the way I behaved. With the Lord's help, I want you to pray for each other. Would you do that right now? Just take a moment, pray for each other. Father, I thank you for every couple in this room. Thank you, Lord, for the commitment they have made before you at the altar, or perhaps at a court or somewhere. But they made a covenant before you. And your word says that you have been a witness to the covenant they have made. Your word says, do not divorce the wife of your youth. Be on your guard and not be unfaithful. Father, we pray that you'll help us to rekindle our love, our commitment, our romance, our love for each other. I pray for every couple, they'll have wonderful marriages, Lord. We pray that you'll bless every couple when they go through storms, when their marriage goes through a shipwreck, that you'll help them, oh God, to be stronger with each other. They will learn to love, they will learn to forgive. That it'll be easy to live with each other. Asking for healing, asking for peace today. In Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet. I read from 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. And treat them with respect as the weaker partner. And as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Listen, so nothing will hinder your prayer. Sometimes when you find no answer coming from God, I guess it's because we have not treated each other well. You treat each other well, you will have miracles from heaven. Our service is concluded. We will be singing a song. You can sing the song as you leave this place. All right? Here we go. It's a song you sing to your spouse. Hold your spouse's hand. Sing along with us. I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. One last time. Yeah.
I love you with
sing
the
to each other.
Love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King. Yes, I love you.
See you next week. Snack and coffee to your right. God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord.
Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King. Yes, I love you.
Thank you for taking time to listen. If you would like more information about our church or would like to make a comment, please mail us at info@newlifeag.in. God bless you.